Tonight, if you have your Bible and if you'll turn to Job, the book of Job, chapter 42, starting at verse 10, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of Scripture, and I'm going to read verse 10 and then verse 12 through 16. I'm in Job chapter 42, preparing to read verse 10 and then verses 12 through 16. Job 42, verse 10, and then verses 12 through 16. It says this: "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." Everybody say twofold. Verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep. He had 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he named the first Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Hupuk, and in the land, in all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. Verse 16, "And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man and full of days." I want to read verse 10 one more time. "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." The title of this message tonight is "God's Got Double for Your Trouble." I wonder if you'd help me with that. I wonder if you'd look at somebody and help me with this title: God's Got Double for Your Trouble. Just help me now, because somebody, they may be going through a tough day, a tough season. They might be going through a tough situation, circumstances. You don't know what they're facing. I know they're smiling real big in here in church, but you don't know what they're facing. I want you just to prophesy to it. Just look at somebody, just tell them, God has got double for your trouble. Oh, yes, he does. He's got double for your trouble, saint of God. And I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. But I do know this, that God knows all about it. God sees what you're going through. And God, he sent me here to tell you, he's got double for your trouble. I said, we've got to listen to him. We've got to do it his way. But the Bible said right here that after all the things that Job went through, the Job prayed after the Lord restored his fortunes. And when he prayed for his friends, the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. You can tell his heart was right, because, you know, he could have been mad at his friends. He had some jacked up friends, first of all. Job had some messed up friends. You know, when people want to insult you, they call you Job's comforters, Job's friends, you know, because they just gave him wrong advice. They were unscriptural. Their doctrine was way off, you know, and instead of encouraging Job through all of his circumstances, they discouraged him. But God, he wants to encourage you tonight. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing, saint of God. God sees you. God's got your answer. And God wants to give you double for your trouble. Go with me to the first chapter of Job. You're at 42. We started at the end of the book. Praise God. Because the end of the book, we found out how Job won. Job had the victory. Praise God. And if you read the end of this book, you'll see you've got the victory too. It really doesn't matter what you're facing. You ought to read the end of the book. We win. Glory to God. Amen. And, you know, really reading in chapter one, you know, you see Satan's conversation with God in verses 10 and 11. And then you see another conversation with Satan answering the Lord over in chapter 2, verse 5. And then we see the culmination of these things in chapter 2. Verse 9. What are you talking about now, Brother Bill? Well, you know, first of all, it's clear that that God didn't attack Job, that the one who attacked Job was Satan. Satan attacked Job. I said, amen. I said, God's not attacking people. God's not putting things on people. God's a good God. Amen. I said, he's blessing people. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. Doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of who? Oppressed of the devil. So God's always doing good, but it's the enemy trying to mess up and corrupt the life of someone. And so Satan's goal from the very beginning, and we see this in chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, his goal was to try to get Job to curse God. He wanted to put Job in some circumstances, and this was Satan's goal, so that Job would turn around and conclude, God must be unfaithful to me, God must not love me, God must not care about me, and therefore I'm going to curse God. Satan wanted him to curse God, and he told God from the very beginning, if you let me destroy his livelihood and put those boils and sores on him, if you let me put all that sickness on him, he said he'll curse you. He was saying to God, Job doesn't really love you, and the moment his circumstances change, he'll curse you. And you can see that there. And then, as I say, you see it again in chapter 2 and verse 5. And Satan said, however, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And so Satan was saying that. And then verse 7, then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. So who did it? Satan did it. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he, meaning Job, took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. One version says he was sitting among the trash and the ashes. Have you ever felt like that? You felt like whatever you went through in life, you wound up sitting on the trash heap. You wound up sitting among the ashes. You might be feeling that way tonight. You might be experiencing that tonight while you're watching or listening, but oh man, God, he is a master. As Pastor had a sermon, he's a master restorer. Let me tell you this, if you'll look to the Lord, I tell you, he'll get you off that trash heap. He loves you so much, he won't leave you there. Amen. And whatever's happened in your life, God loves you and God cares for you, and Jesus died for you to lift you up in life and to bring you to a new place in life of victory, a new position of victory, praise God. And so Satan's plan was to try to get Job to curse God. And Satan, he got Job's wife to cooperate, because after all of the things that happened to Job, Satan, he used Job's wife's mouth, and she gave Job a two-point plan. And she told Job, you might as well just curse God and die. She was saying, in effect, things have gotten so bad. She said, Job, I'm going to give you a sermon. It got 2 points. Just curse God and die. She was really saying, God is not faithful. God has not been faithful. And she was saying, all hope of his faithfulness is gone. There's no reason to praise God. She was saying, you ought to curse him, because there's no reason. There's no reason. All hope you had for deliverance is gone. Look at you. You're on the trash heap. Look at you now. You're broke. Look at you, Job. There's no reason. Oh, but Job, he may not have had the best theology, but you can follow his faith. You can't always follow Job's you can't always follow his doctrine. Let me say it like that. But you can follow his faith. And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. And Job said, you know, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Well, God didn't slay Job. Satan did that. That's why I said you can't trust his doctrine, but you can sure follow his faith. And so whatever you're going through, I came to tell you that I don't care what it looks like, God is faithful. And you may be going through your darkest hour. You may be experiencing your worst moments. You may be going through things on your job or in your family, or I don't know what's happened in your life just today. But I can tell you this, God, he's a faithful God. And no matter what your circumstances look like, don't use your circumstances to judge God's faithfulness. Use his word. Use the power of his word and the other times in your life when you've seen God come through for you. God will not fail you. God will not fail you. God will not fail you. And I don't care how bad it looks. When it looks bad, that's the time to declare his faithfulness. I wish I had a bigger amen.
When it's dark, that's the time to declare his faithfulness. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. When it looks bleak, when you done lost your job, that's the time to declare, God, you're faithful. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the one who's my provider. When you've lost your job, that's the time you need to be saying, you're the one who put a roof over my head. When you lost your job, that's the time to declare, you're the one who put bread on my table. You need to say what David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging bread. I said, God is a faithful God. And you say, well, it doesn't look like that according to my circumstances. Your circumstances are not what we use to define God's faithfulness. And I said, if you'll keep the switch of faith turned on, if you would just keep the switch of faith turned on, I said, God can turn that thing around, turn it around, turn it around, turn it around. God will turn that thing around. He'll turn it around. I said, God has the power to turn it around for you. And God can give you a better job or a better home, or he can give you another relationship. I said, God can do it again. What he did before, he'll do it again. The question is, will we believe it? And will we declare his faithfulness, because he is faithful? He's faithful to do it. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I said, he's faithful. But now we have to do things his way. Go with me now to 2 Kings, if you will. Go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. God sent me here tonight. I know this. He told me to tell you. He's got double for your trouble. You say, I don't believe that. You can believe it or not believe it. Listen, I'm going to deliver the word and leave it with you. But I can tell you this, if you'll believe it, he's got double for your trouble. You can doubt it. You can do without it. But if you believe it, you'll receive it. I said, amen. He's got double for your trouble. He gave Job, the Bible says he gave him twofold. In other words, he doubled everything that Job had lost. God doubled it back to him. And it wasn't God who took it. It was Satan who took it. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't God who took it in the first place. It was Satan who took it. And the Bible says Satan is small g, the god of this world. He's the one wreaking havoc. He's the one destroying lives. He's the one wrecking homes. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. People want to blame God for everything. Then they blame God but listen, if you're going to get double for your trouble, you can't blame God. I said, if he's going to give you double for your trouble, don't blame God. You say, if I don't blame God, what am I going to do? That's when you need to bless God. I said, you ought to bless him. When it looked like in the midst of what seems like God's unfaithfulness, you ought to raise your hands and begin to worship God and sing, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. All I have needed, thou hast provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I said, right there in your apartment, you need to lift your hand and start blessing the Lord. Don't blame God, bless him. You ought to ask Paul and Silas about it. Stay there. You're in 2 Kings 2. Don't go. But over in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they were in a prison cell. It looked like God wasn't going to be faithful. They were out there on a missions trip, getting people born again. Disaster happened. They cast a demon out of a slave girl. She couldn't tell people's fortunes. Her owners got mad, had Paul and Silas arrested, thrown in prison. And the Bible said, Acts 16:25, at midnight, they had just been beaten, their feet and hands fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul jumped in with a low baritone, singing, great is thy faithfulness. And I hear Silas kicked in with a tenor voice, Lord unto me. The Bible says they were singing praises unto God at midnight in the prison. Hey, when it looked like God was unfaithful, they started singing about his faithfulness. And the Bible said the prisoners heard them singing of God's goodness, singing about God's faithfulness, singing about how God can make a way out of no way, singing about how God put bread on the table. Hey, I said, God is greater than your problem. He's bigger than all that. And the question is if you can trust him tonight. And so here in 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, what's my title tonight? Help me again. What's my title? God's got double for your trouble. Here we have Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah is getting ready to go and be with the Lord. And Elisha, his successor, is with him. And we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Because it says, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And as they were going along talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there. And Elisha crossed over. Yeah. He asked for a double portion of the anointing. And God sent me here to tell someone here tonight, he's going to double your anointing. There's an anointing on all. If you're a believer, there's an anointing on you. There's an anointing with you, within you. You know, 1 John 2:27 says you have an anointing. You already have an anointing down on the inside. But guess what? That anointing can be increased. A preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. I said the anointing in you, however strong it is, it can be increased. I said that anointing, however strong it is, it can be increased. It can be greater. Yeah. And when it was time to ask for what you want, Elisha was saying, I don't want nothing material. What I'm looking is for something in the realm of the spirit. Elisha was saying, it's all right for Cadillacs and houses. That's not what I'm looking for. He said, I want a double portion, but I want a double portion of the anointing. And there are certain things about the anointing that are taught. And if the anointing is going to grow in our lives, there are certain things that are taught about the anointing. But how many of you know there's another whole side of this thing? Certain things about the anointing that are caught. And you have to be in the right company to catch it. A preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. I said there are certain things that are caught. There are certain things that are taught and there are certain things that are caught. And when you gather with the saints of God in the presence of God, in the house of God, and when you're around the anointed man of and woman of God, and then, man, I'm telling you, God, he's telling somebody right now tonight, he's going to double the anointing that's on you. And when that mantle fell back down from the chariots and Elisha picked up that mantle, he got a double anointing. And the anointing was so powerful on him that they were going through a famine. They were going through a famine. And the Bible says, look, you're in 2 Kings 2. Go over to 2 Kings 6. They were in the middle of a famine. And at chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, the famine was so bad. The famine was so bad. Look at verse 25. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head. Now, who would want to eat that? That don't sound too appetizing to me. But a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. Look at that. And it said, in a fourth of a cab of dove's dung. That don't sound too appetizing to me. Of dove's dung, it sold for 5 shekels of silver. And under a double portion of the anointing,
Look at chapter 7 now, 2 Kings chapter 7. Elisha received that double anointing. That double anointing, we're in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time. Somebody say, tomorrow about this time. Oh, that sounds good. Help me out one more time. Help a preacher out. Say, tomorrow about this time. He said, a measure of fine flour will be sold for only a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for only a shekel. Listen, they were trying to get a donkey's head for 80 shekels. They were trying to get dove's dung for 5 shekels. That's bad. And then Elisha, speaking under the anointing, said about this time tomorrow, he said, you're going to have a measure of fine flour sold for only a shekel, 2 measures of barley for only a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, how could this thing be? And then he said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. And you know the rest of that story. They accidentally stomped him to death that next day, and he didn't eat of it. He couldn't believe it, and he didn't receive it. But God sent me here to tell you that he's got a double portion for you, and if you'll believe it, you'll receive it. I said, God told me to tell you he's got a double portion for you tonight, and if you will believe it, then you will receive it. Go with me to, let's go now to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to look at verse 20 when you get there. Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph is talking to his brothers who are very afraid that after all of their evil deeds toward their brother, after all of the years of evil and stress that they put on him, they're afraid now he's in position as prime minister and they're afraid he's going to get them back. And here's his answer to them. And he said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. I love that. He said, so therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, when you read a little further, you find out that he fed every night at his table 75 people. 75 people. His family. And he said here, he said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Or one version says, God turned it around for my good. He took what evil you sent my way and turned it around for my good. I like that. I said, God's got double for your trouble tonight. Joseph had so much trouble from his brothers. You know his story. First, they had a plot to murder him. After his dream, after all of his dream that he shared with them, they consented together to murder him. And then one of his brothers talked him out of the murder plot, and so they threw him in a pit. And then from the pit, he was sold to Potiphar. And then he at Potiphar's house, he was a slave. But Potiphar promoted him even as a slave. He ran Potiphar's household, and then he helped the cupbearer, and he helped the baker, and he said, please remember me to the cupbearer who got his job back, and the cupbearer forgot him for how long? 2 whole years. But the day came when Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could interpret it but Joseph. And when they called for Joseph, he went in and shaved and changed his clothes, and he went into the presence of Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, God can answer your dream. And the Bible says, after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, you could see this. Don't turn there, we don't have time. But if you went back to Genesis 41, 46, the Bible says there that Joseph was 30 years old when Pharaoh promoted him to prime minister of Egypt. Yet the last verse of this chapter says Joseph died. Genesis 50, 20, 26, Joseph died at the age of 110 years old. What are you saying? He was 30 when he became prime minister. He didn't die. He didn't die until right here it says he was 110 years old. So in other words, God gave him 80 years ruling and reigning. He suffered 13 years of adversity because of what his brothers did to him. But he didn't let those 13 years make him bitter. The Bible says by faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. And I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I do know that it'll take faith and patience, trusting God, but he'll bring you out. Whatever it looks like tonight, God will turn that thing around for you tomorrow. And I said, if you'll trust him, he'll bring you out. I said, he'll bring you through it. But in my first point to you about Job, I said this to you, don't blame God. God's got double for your trouble, but you'll never get it if you blame God. Because if you blame God, you'll judge him as unfaithful. If you judge God as unfaithful, you won't use your faith. You'll never get double for your trouble blaming God. God didn't put you in that position. God's the one loving you. God's the one helping you. God's the one delivering you. God's the one being faithful to you. God's the one picking you up again. You're going to blame somebody, blame the devil. But here in this story, in Genesis 50, verse 20, we learn a different principle. Don't blame people. Oh, a preacher can't get no amen saying that. I said, people are not your problem. You say, oh, yes, they are. The people down there on my job, they're the problem. They're the problem. You don't know them. If you knew them. Those people down there on your job, they're not your problem. People are not your problem. You think people are your problem, but people are not your problem. And the great thing about Joseph is he refused to blame people. After 13 years of negativism and people forgetting him and people lying on him and people trying to get him to commit fornication, all just crazy stuff. After 13 years of foolishness, he never allowed himself to get bitter. He wasn't mad at people. He wasn't mad at his brothers. And you're going to have to release those people that you're mad at. Preacher won't get one amen. I hope that I'll get some amens from the people at home, the people watching over the camera. I ain't getting no amens here in the auditorium. If y'all could help me out at home, I'll get it in the spirit. He didn't get bitter. And I don't know who hurt you. It's not right. I'm not justifying what someone did to hurt you. And we could share a million different stories about somebody hurt you or I or things that people did. But you'll never get double for your trouble when you're blaming people. Don't blame God. Don't blame God for it. Don't blame the people. Go with me to Isaiah in 61, Isaiah 61. Don't blame God. God's got double for your trouble tonight. But we learn from Job, don't blame God. We learn from Joseph, don't blame people. You're going to Isaiah 61. But Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, at my first trial, he said, nobody even stood with me. I risked my life for all those people. And then I went to my tribunal and not one person stood up in my defense. And you know what Paul said? May it not be held against them, Lord. They don't know no better. Stephen in Acts 7, while people were stoning him, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, you'll never get double for your trouble while you're blaming people for your problem. You're going to have to learn to release people and let them go. You'll never get double for your trouble while you're blaming God for what happened. You're going to have to judge God as faithful and exercise your faith. And then here in Isaiah 61, verse 7, it says, instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. And they will possess a double portion in the land. And everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery in the burnt offering. Finally, what I want to say to you tonight is, don't blame yourself. Now you have to be responsible, you and I. And so if we've made mistakes, if we've sinned, if we've made mistakes, then we ought to own up to that. I said, I wish a preacher had an amen. Where we have made mistakes, we have to own that, and we have to repent of that, and we have to go to the Father and just repent and say, Father, forgive me. Sometimes we just need to say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Father, forgive me. You may have caused your own problem tonight. You may be having trouble forgiving yourself. You may be sitting here tonight or watching me or listening to me from wherever you're listening, and you may be having trouble forgiving yourself because you know it was your own hand. You took a hammer and hit your own self in the head. But now you sit there in shame and in guilt and in self-condemnation. And listen to me, if you've already repented of that thing, then you're going to have to not blame yourself. Because Jesus nailed whatever it is, it was nailed to his cross. And he said, listen, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and do what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so, brother, sister, if you've repented of that thing, then don't let the enemy put you in guilt and shame and condemnation. You repented of that thing. Don't be sitting there letting the enemy heap waves of condemnation on you when God's already forgiven you. And God's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Micah 7:19 said, God said, I took your sins and threw them into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And so the scripture here said in Isaiah 61, instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion, and they will possess a double portion in their land. Oh, you're going to have to forgive yourself. Okay, you made a mistake. Okay, got that. It's already in the sea of forgetfulness. Forget it and let it go. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Over in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. My brother and sister, I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I do know this. The Lord sent me here with a specific word for you to tell you that he's got double for your trouble. If you'll walk in love, if you'll walk in forgiveness, if you'll keep a root of bitterness from settling in your heart, if you'll refuse to blame God for what you've been through, if you'll refuse to blame people, if you'll refuse to blame yourself after you've repented, God will bring you out. He'll turn it around. And he'll bring you through, and he'll give you double for your trouble. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share in these moments that we've had with your people what you told us to say, that you want to give them double for their trouble. And Father God, we know that so many are going through situations, circumstances, and scenarios, but we pray for the people tonight that they'll be delivered, set free through your mighty power, that you'll help them and deliver them in every way, Father God. See them through down there on the job. Some have lost jobs. Some have lost relationships. Some have been through terrible turmoil and situations. Brokenness. Oh, but you're the great God of the turnaround. And you're the God who gives us double for our trouble tonight. And we believe you tonight. We're not going to be like that royal officer who said, if God opened up a window of heaven, that couldn't happen. When Elisha had said, tomorrow about this time. And so we thank you, Lord, for opening doors and providing for your people. And we'll keep the switch of faith turned on until we see it. We'll keep the switch of faith turned on until it comes. And we'll continue to praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.